Hello and welcome to Dungeon Arcade, an actual play storytelling podcast. And I'm going to call it a season. We finished season one. We are into season two. This season, we're running through a bunch of different role-playing games and systems that I have come across over the years, or people have sent me, or other people in our group have sent me, and I am very excited to play them. Today, we're going to be playing Stars Without Numbers, which is a sci-fi role-playing game by Kevin Crawford. You can find it on DriveThruRPG. I believe it's pay what you want for the free version. And then there's a paid version that's much more robust. So I highly recommend, if you just want to use the free version, which is so much information, it's crazy, throwing a couple bucks to them. And if you like it, buy the whole thing. But I'm going to kick it over to Michael, actually, who's going to be GMing this game for us. So, Michael, take it away.
Hello, I am Michael. I am going to be your GM, your Galaxy Master, for this sci-fi adventure. Just came up with that.
No one believes you. You wrote that joke weeks ago.
And so we are going to be first going around introducing our characters, and then we'll begin our first adventure in Stars Without Numbers. So I'm going to pass over to Alex. Tell us your name, a bit about your character, like their race and kind of what they look like and what their deal is.
All right, I'll do my best. I'll be playing a character by the name of Atticus Biggs. Atticus Biggs, if you're playing along at home. He's a human from the world of Kaltar. Kaltar is a core world with a very stark and extreme socioeconomic divide. There's a big glistening city where the very wealthy live, and then outside the city it's basically just like crazy poverty, and those folks mostly work like serving the rich in the city. So Atticus is a worker. That's his class. Is that the right word? Background? It's probably better.
Whichever.
He's a worker, and he works as a transport pilot, doing easy transport runs, mostly transporting the rich folks to vacationing destinations or off-world business ventures. And occasionally, you know, he lucks into a job where a part of it is, you know, delivering a message, quote unquote, to, you know, somebody on the destination. And usually there's a little extra coin in it for him when that's the case. The interesting thing about Atticus from a narrative perspective is that, you know, he appears as very apathetic and introverted and quiet, but inside he has this like deep anger and hatred for the system that he finds himself in and the people who exploit it. And he really wants to leave, but he lives with his mother, who is of course older. Atticus is like in his 30s, and his mother is basically guilts him into not leaving his home world. Not because, you know, she wants him to care for her, or because she's like worried for him, but rather like, I don't know, just like, I don't know, we've always lived here. It's our family's way to be Kaltarians. And so he's been saving up money to buy his own ship to leave the planet. But when he saves up enough coin, will he really have the gumption to actually pull the trigger and leave his mom, even though she's, you know, being toxic? Will he still have the courage to leave her? Atticus is an expert, and has a lot of focus in like piloting and vehicles, and like melee combat. Anything else you want to know about our boy Atticus Biggs?
Did you describe your appearance?
No. He's like, I honestly didn't think about it that much. I'd say he's like, he's a human. I'd put him in like his late 30s. Just kind of like blue collar guy. He's like fit, you know, but not like huge. He's kind of got like a dad bod, I think. Maybe like a, like his hair starting to gray. He's kind of got like a constant 5 o'clock shadow stubble going on. Very like, I'd say he's a pretty like normal looking person, as uninteresting as that is. He doesn't have any like wild physical features. His charisma is -1 on the modifiers thing though. So he's just, you know, not very charismatic.
Just kind of boring. Awkward. All right. Thank you. Now, Nate.
All right. I don't know if I'm going to be able to follow that extremely good description of his entire life, because I don't think I've got that much down for backstory, but...
Well, I couldn't tell you what he looked like, so...
That's true. I am playing as Shrike Mazarin. He is a... in terms of like the actual gameplay mechanic stuff, the class I am is Adventurer, and I've paired Expert and Psychic. He is a psychic gunslinging thief, and his background is criminal. I'll do like all the gameplay stuff first, I guess, and then the backstory. His homeworld is Jespin 6. The species that I made him is Asterion. And Asterions are, they look like normal people, except for the fact that they're made entirely out of fire. He's a sentient flame person, essentially. Totally didn't steal that from Starbound and change the name. I like it so much.
So if I looked at him, I would just think he looks like a human.
He looks like a human. All he, like, he has clothes and everything unlike a human that are fireproof, because that's how clothing works for him. Except instead of having like normal skin where his hands and head should be, it just kind of looks like the same shape, but made out of fire.
So it's like the Human Torch when he flames on.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. Just a humanoid fire creature thing. Don't read too much into it.
What is it? Howl's Moving Castle? Is that the one with the little fire creature?
I think you're right.
I have no idea.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, very Human Torch. Anyway. That would be the way to look at it. Except right. Less skin.
Less skin.
More fire. The psychic thing that I picked is teleportation, which I've been told will be very not helpful, but I decided it was fun anyways. He can teleport 10 meters. That's part of his whole thief thing. In terms of his background, he grew up on a planet called Jespin 6. Not super like heavily trafficked. It's not like a poor planet, or there's not a ton of poverty. It's pretty like average in terms of how much there is in terms like the economic side of it. There's not a bunch of poor areas, there's not a bunch of rich areas, but it is home to a pretty prestigious psychic or psychosis. I don't know the actual term they use in this game. It's, you know what I mean, psionic. A psionic school of sorts, because most people who dabble in psychics require some sort of training. And Shrike didn't attend one of those. Oops. But he made a living by, he would frequent the area around that school because that was the most wealth on the planet, and he would steal from nearby. And he ended up stealing an ancient like text from the college before getting found out and escaping onto a nearby cargo ship, where he then just kind of stowed away and ended up becoming like a planet hopper and freelancer who studied this tome in his free time until he kind of picked up on a little bit of psionic teleportation from this tome that he had stolen and never actually got the chance to sell off, because he determined it was somewhat useful. And it's just been a freelance kind of like planet hopper who just stows away in ships, getting whatever odd jobs he can at starports and off worlds.
Is the premise of the psionics in this game that it like like the Force in Star Wars, like there are people who are more attuned than others?
So the actual thing there, it's like, it's a condition known as metadimensional extroversion syndrome. And people with that usually require some sort of like additional training, because if they try to do it on their own, it's usually way too powerful and they go brain dead or they hurt themselves in some pretty wild ways. And
gotcha.
These people are somewhat rare, because those who are attuned to it might go their whole lives without receiving any sort of training. Mm-hmm. And then those who do receive training, a lot of the time it'll end up going wrong. But he was, without knowing it, I guess he was psychic. He was attuned to this MES disorder and was able to just pick up on this ancient, like the text that he had stolen. He was able to pick up just a little bit of psychic ability, but not really as much as he would have if he had actually just gone to the college that he was really close to instead of stealing from it.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. I don't
know if there's anything else you need to know, but
Shrike Mazrin. All right.
Yeah, I was going to ask that again. It's Atticus Biggs and Shrike Mazrin.
Yes.
You got it. And in keeping in Dungeon Arcade tradition, Adam's character is Shrike Mazrin.
It's Strike. Actually, you were very
strike.
Close.
Strike would be right.
Strike Mazrin.
It's Strike Maticus.
Speaking of which, Adam, introduce your character.
Well, I will be playing a woman. Her name is Danya. It's D-A-N apostrophe A is how you spell it. She is a strunt from the planet Arat, which was it wasn't a big planet by any means, but it was a pretty popular planet for intergalactic travelers. So it was a good place to stop off, grab some food, recharge some of those energy pods, get something looked at if something was broken, or, spend the night if you need to keep yourself from falling asleep at the wheel. And then that new intergalactic spaceway just bypassed Arat and has decimated our planet's economy. My family's owned a ship shop for, gosh, generations now. It was at least my great, great, great grandfather's shop. And it's effectively out of business. So I am, I've left home. I was the lead mechanic, but since we're out of business now, I've left home in an attempt to find a place where I might be able to move my family and reopen our family's mechanic shop. Is most of what I do. So my class is expert. I'm a technician, because that makes the most sense if I want to be a mechanic. And the my focus, which in the game, if this doesn't make sense, he was a listener. Basically, similar to other role playing games, there's a background that you can kind of choose from, and then a class within that, and then you choose a focus, which helps gives you bonuses to the skills that you have by choosing the focus on these specific things. My focus are specialist, which I've chosen to connect to my connect skill, which helps me connect with other people, find illicit goods, things like that. And I've also added the hacker focus, which gives me programming so I can hack into systems, which I felt made sense if I was going to be working on spaceships. They probably have some decent amount of, computery stuff. So I am an alien. Like I said, I think part of the premise of this system is that it kind of starts off from with this idea that humanity has scattered itself across the galaxy, and they kind of try to get you to play a human character, but you can also play an AI or an alien character, and I'm playing an alien character. I'm a fairly like normal size for a human woman. I'm right at 5'6". I have purple skin. My hands and feet are partially webbed. Arat was at least in part a water planet. So about, I mean, over half the planet was covered in water. And so we have these webbed hands and feet to help us, you know, swim. And then my fingers and toes are slightly longer than the Terra humans would be. My ears are huge, like twice the size of what they should be, which is normal for my species, the Strunt, but looks very normal, looks very abnormal when you're used to seeing human faces. And we also don't have a nose, at least not a physical nose, similar to like Komodo dragons. I can smell with my tongue. Yeah. And I think that is I think that's all I have to say about my character. I didn't give him an age or anything, so I'm going to throw out that they're right around, I mean, 29. How about that?
I have a history question.
Yeah, absolutely.
That you may not even have an answer to.
Oh, I got an answer.
What happened on their world where they evolved to have webbed stuff, whereas like here on Earth, we don't have that, and yet most of our planet's covered in water. Like we're in a very similar situation, but they...
Yeah. No, I got you. Part of the problem with our planet is when we started becoming a hub for this intergalactic travel, we really upped the greenhouse gas emissions. Mm-hmm. And a lot, and like in other planets, like they have these ice caps that start melting, and then, you know, that's kind of the system. But we actually tore a hole in our atmosphere, and like a ton of the water on our planet evaporated off.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually, it used to be, I mean, it was like 98% water, 2% land, and then like we've been just losing water left and right, which,
okay,
you know.
So that might be something that actually gets kind of mutated out eventually.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it will be, but I'm still, and that's like, you know, I think that's why I'm only partially webbed, because there was a time where it was like, definitely it was full on webbing, but like, as we haven't needed to use the water as much, it's not been as important a mating characteristic. I'm a DM, dog. You can't come at me with those questions and don't think I have an answer.
The species doesn't believe in evolution. It's just how God made him.
I wasn't.
That would be such a fun perspective to take.
Okay. So, Alex or Atticus, what planet are you from?
It's called Kaltar.
Kaltar. Since you don't ever leave that planet, we're going to start there.
Oh, yeah. I meant to say that I left my planet to go find like a new planet to set up my shop. And I have met whoever Michael needs me to meet. So that way I meet everybody else.
Yeah. You've all.
Yeah, I mean, I could have planet hopped to wherever I need to be, also on some sort of cargo ship.
And also, yeah, like Atticus's plan here is to build up enough credits or whatever it's called to buy a ship and leave. But also his job is literally to fly ships.
Okay.
Yeah.
So his job could make him arrive at the intended destination.
All right.
Or we could play out a little like, oh, I just raised my X number credit that I need.
Let's play in individual, just individual things, and see if we meet. And then if we don't, we have to roll new characters until.
Dang it! I just kind of figured out this system after like 9 hours. Come on. Yeah.
So it should be easy to make a new character.
Sure.
Instead, you all, we're actually going to be playing a pre-made module that I've found on Drive-Thru RPG. We love that website.
Great.
It's podcast. It's
what a great website.
Such a good resource if you are looking to get into a DMing or GMing role-playing games. Like, cannot recommend Drive-Thru RPG enough.
It's great for both systems and adventures. It's amazing. This is called Free Reign by Dominic Moore. So this first little bit of our adventure will be from that, and then we'll move into some homebrew stuff. So we start off on the planet of Odessa. Odessa is mainly heavy industry or like mega corporations. It's a dreary world of massive planet-spanning manufacturing and sad tenement housing with polluted strip mines.
It's starting off a campaign on a sad note.
It's a major urban center.
It sounds like Fort Wayne.
Great.
Holy crap, that was
You're all Fort Wayne. Out there.
For everybody who will get that reference, yeah. That's it's one major urban center. Odessa City houses about 3 million inhabitants. Largely the bureaucrats and menial laborers who form the cogs of the machine inhabit that place. Odessa City always seems to be shrouded in rain or fog, or more accurately, smog, which is the result of over a century of overexploitation of the natural world. In the streets of Odessa City, inhabitants often have to wear respirators, heavy raincoats to protect themselves from the polluted rain, and often have to eat highly processed food imported from other worlds.
Michael, I play RPGs to escape reality. I don't need this.
This is the dark future that we're looking for towards Adam. So
future.
Distant future, isn't it?
I didn't say it was distant. The streets, as you walk towards this non-district building in an industrial area, are slick with rain. As you enter in, you see a room that could be generously described as a boardroom. The paint is peeling, the lights are flickering with age, and the furniture has seen far better days. You all have arrived here after answering an ad for freelancers. You take a seat around the table in the middle of the room. At the head of the table is Aaron Vershin, a corporate stooge and fixer working for Manticore Industries, your employer for this job. Vershin is dressed casually and looks like he'd be happier in a typical business suit rather than meeting with quote-unquote mercenaries in one of Manticore's mothballed offices. Well, let's not waste any time. Frowning, he continues on. 2 days ago, Manticore Industries was robbed. Well, that is, our CEO, Kira Gurov, was robbed. And she would like this matter dealt with without the public embarrassment that would occur if this incident leaked to the press. Kira owns an old free trader, the Free Rain. She uses it for special assignments where a Manticore needs to keep a low profile. The thieves stole the ship, and within the next day, they intend to have its identification codes changed and moved off planet. Obviously, we cannot allow this to happen. We need to locate the ship and return it to Manticore Industries. For this service, you each can expect 500 credits in compensation. Are there any questions?
You're saying that we could rob the CEO without you all noticing?
No, we noticed. That's why we hired you.
But you didn't catch him. I'm just saying 500 credits seems kind of low if I can just, you know, steal from you guys, right? Right.
Do you even want this job? Why answer the ad if you were just going to come in and try to steal from us?
I'm just saying, I think 500 credits is a little cheap for, you know, Manticore Industries, especially for something they want to keep credits. Under the rug.
I'll take the 500.
We're trying to get more. What are you doing?
That's fine for me.
Okay, well, ignore.
If she doesn't want to do the job, I'll do it.
I'll do it for 7. How about that?
600.
Deal.
I'll just rob you blind. 600.
Can the extra 100 credits come out of that, guys?
If he is not happy with 600, then yes.
I'll take 600 for now.
So I know I said 500 a minute ago, but if it's 600 now, is that for me too?
You each will receive 600 in compensation.
We just gotta get a ship this ship to you by tomorrow night? Tonight. When do you need it?
You just gotta get it back soon before they ship it off world and the chances of finding it drop drastically.
Okay. There's not like a low jack on it?
Not anymore.
All right, that's great. Just give us the numbers, give us the info. We'll get your shit, boss.
Well, we don't know who took it, but we know a place that you might be able to find out who did. There's a local bar called the Blast Furnace that caters to the least reputable residents of the city.
I know the place.
I look at Atticus and then I look at Strike and I say, I expected this from you, not from him.
I'm going to be real. I haven't figured out what character voice I want to do yet, which is half the reason I'm so quiet right now.
I'm still workshopping mine.
We'll keep it loosey-goosey.
Okay.
If you want to adjust on the fly, you can adjust on the fly.
Yeah, that might expect some wild variation. That might happen.
All right. So Blast Furnace. I mean, any other leads you can give us, or is that pretty much it?
If any of you are overly tech savvy, you might be able to find something on Odessa's darknet. But even then, again, that's another shot in the dark.
That was funny. You said darknet.
Yeah.
It was a shot in the dark.
Yeah.
It was good.
Are there any other questions? All right, fine. And he just turns and walks away.
Atticus is here because he was, he had a job to transport a this is more for me than it is for anyone else, honestly. I'm just justifying this.
Hold on, Alex, wait. I turn to Atticus and I'm like, so what's your name? What are you doing here?
Thanks for asking. Name's Atticus Biggs. I'm a transport pilot. I'm from Kaltar. You familiar?
Yeah, I know Kaltar.
Real wealthy, wealthy place, right?
Yeah, I was trying to open up a garage out there, fixing up like hot rod speeders for people, but it's a little saturated market, you know.
Yeah, good luck if you don't know the right person to get in that market.
Yeah.
I had a job flying a wealthy businessman out here, and I'm on furlough, I suppose, waiting for him to conduct his business, so. I've just been hanging out for the last couple days. Figured I'd take this job on while I got the time to kill. What's your story, Morning Glory?
I'm Danya. I just been bopping around. I mean, like I said, I'm trying to find a new place to open up a shop somewhere. I used to run my family's ship shop. Out on Arat, But I mean, ever since they built that intergalactic spaceway, it's just really, really ruined all our business, you know, now they bypass our planet. So
it's been a long time since I've been out to Arrot.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's not been too good for us. I mean, I get it, you know, faster travel and all that, and, you know, clearer and I get it. I'm not too upset about it, but I'm just trying to earn enough money to set up shop somewhere. So
listen, I understand being taken advantage of by the wealthy. They don't even care about us folk who work hard to make a living.
Totally. So what's your story? Turn to the next one.
Completely ignore that.
My name is Shrike Mazarin. I help reallocate some unnecessary possessions from people.
Are you trying to do an Argonian voice?
Kind of. I don't really know yet. I figured people made of fire probably don't have regular vocal cords, so it's probably a little more airy.
That's good.
So, wait, are you saying you're a repo man, or are you a thief? I guess I'm a little.
Thief seems a bit judgmental.
Oh no, I mean no judgment. I get it. Like, you gotta make a living.
Exactly.
So you're a thief.
Yes.
All right. Watch your possessions around this dude. And I stand up
on this one.
So, we're going to the blast furnace, right?
I reckon.
I suppose so.
Awesome. Let's go find ourselves a ship, boys.
I've got a ship in the dock if
you want to use that. You really don't understand what we're doing here, do you?
Oh, the ship that I understand now.
Night.
The ship that we got to repossess, I understand now.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
I hope you're a better pilot than you are paying attention.
No, I thought you just maybe meant like a ship in general, in which case I do have one.
Good to know.
Great.
It's not mine, right? It's my company's.
But we can use it.
But I mean, actually, now that I think about it, we probably ought to not use that ship.
So you don't have a ship,
I
then?
I do. I am in possession of a ship right now.
It sounds like you can't use the ship, but no. Shrike could use the ship.
No, Shrike definitely can't.
His profession.
There's no chance that Shrike
could very easily use this ship.
Think you can pilot that ship, boy? I think not.
I can at least I can use it.
Listen, the ship's a no-go.
Then why did you bring it
up? You brought it up!
Because I was just doing...
You offered.
Did I say... I have a ship that we can fly to complete the duties of this assignment.
It was implied.
How do you think language works?
I'm just saying, if we fly this ship for any more miles than what is strictly allocated for my business job that I'm on right now, they'll have my balls in a vice grip. You understand?
Then you won't have a ship or any balls.
Not really. That's not really. I mean, I'm not.
Well,
I don't have that. So
pleasant. If we must use a ship and one of y'all can dial back the mileage reader, then maybe we can do it.
I can reprogram the odometer. That's nothing.
All right, well, it's an option.
All right. Let's go to the blast furnace. I don't think we need a ship to get there.
Let's go get ourselves a ship, man.
Possible way we could have said, I have a ship, but we probably shouldn't use it. Six-minute conversation.
We're character building.
Character building. Yeah,
it's true. I don't know anything about your characters, really. So this is good. All right, we're going to the blast furnace. All right.
You don't need a ship to get there. As you walk through the streets, you see many automated markets that are very common there on Odessa. And in the dark hue of this industrial center, you look out and you can see a small bright light. And as you get closer, you see a neon sign that says the B furnace. Most of one word is burnt out. Clearly, maintenance of this property is not on the high end of the owner's list. And a tough-looking bouncer stands outside the stained door that leads to the interior. You hear a dull thumping of music from within. The bouncer looks you up and down and says, 10 credits cover.
We're just looking to pop in and pop in and out. I'm not trying to hang out. Girls drink for free.
10 credits cover.
5 credits.
10 credits cover.
Oh, you drive a hard bargain.
Hey, fellas, me. I was here last night. Listen, ain't there like a loyalty club membership card?
Clubs don't do that thing.
That's upsetting. Okay. All right, here's your 10 credits.
You're just paying.
Yep. I'll meet you in there.
Well, I mean, yeah.
So you walk inside?
He hands over 10 credits.
He steps aside and you can walk in if you want.
All right. Yeah, I walk in. I'm deciding here pretty early on that Atticus just like doesn't care.
This is bogus. I'm going to walk around the side of the, building.
I'm going to look at Shrike and I'm going to say, just to keep our cover. I'm going to say, well, I mean, we only need to get some information. So, I mean, he'll go in and get it. He seems pretty reliable. So, let's wait out here and, you know, just have a look around.
Sounds good to me.
We're looking for another way in. That's what I
think it's very clear that the second that we get out of the guard's line of sight, I'm just going to teleport into the bar.
Okay.
So I don't know how that actually works in terms of gameplay mechanics, but
I have a question though.
Yeah.
Do you guys not have 10 credits?
Oh no, I do. I'm just cheap.
I do.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
I'm trying to open a shop, Michael. Yeah.
I just wanted to know if it was being cheap or if you guys just genuinely didn't have the money.
No, I definitely have the money. I was debating between teleporting in or pickpocketing my money back out of his pocket on the way out.
But okay.
Yeah, the minute we get out of his line of sight, I'm just going to use my teleport and go kind of through the wall.
Okay.
Into the bar. As soon as we get around the corner, I just look at Danya and just go, see ya, and pop away.
What?
He vanishes out of existence right in front of you. You don't know where he went.
Okay, so I'm gonna walk around the back of the building, and I'm looking for. I'm assuming there's a kitchen in this place.
Yep.
I'm looking for some people who work there who are on their smoke break.
There's no one on their smoke break, but as you kind of round out to the back corner, you do see a door open up and somebody bring out a dumpster full of garbage and kind of just toss it into the alleyway.
I call out to them like, excuse me.
They turn and look at you, and it's a fairly gross looking man. Like he just looks greasy, like he hasn't showered in a while, and his shirt is just stained and dirty. And he just kind of turns and looks at you and says, "What?"
I'm supposed to meet someone in the bar. I was just like, can I just pop in really quick?
The entrance is out front.
No, they told me to come around back. I think he said he's
why would Donnie tell you to come around back?
No. The guy I'm meeting, he's one of the co-owners. He told me he owns this place, and he said just come in the back. And he said he actually told me. What was your name?
Craig.
Yeah, Craig. He told me, he was like, you're probably gonna see Craig out there. He's always just crushing it, like keeping the place clean and nice. And like without him, honestly, place would go down the toilet. Like he spoke so highly of you. And he told me that, you know, if I come around the back, I'd probably see Craig and I should just say, hey, like, can I just pop in and see, meet who I'm trying to meet?
What's the owner's name?
Oh, it's, I only met him briefly. He, it was kind of loud, I'll be honest. It's a shorter name. And I am trying to get this person to help me and give me a name is what I'm trying to do. I don't know when I should roll something, but
make a skill. Make a talking check.
But I have connect as a skill, which specifically is about getting people to cooperate with me. And so I feel like that's relevant here.
All right, sure.
Yes. Love being on this side. All right. Okay. Oh, that is not good. I rolled 3-1. No, I rolled 2-1s.
I was going to say 3. Why are you rolling 3?
Oh, I'm rolling. Sorry. My specialist is connected to my connect. So I get to roll 3d6 and drop below it. So I rolled a 3, a 1 and a 2. So I rolled 3 points plus 1 for my connect. And I assume plus 1 for my charisma. Which gives me a 6, but I mean,
I do have a question about skills while we're doing like a skill check. So if you have a skill that is 0, which means like you have like the basics of it, do you add anything to that role then when you make a skill check, even though your skill is at like level 0?
So you add the relevant attributes too.
Okay. So if it's 0, then that lets you add the attributes.
Well, it's just like, so if I roll connect, then like I'm making a charisma check because I'm trying to talk to people basically in D&D terms.
Yeah.
So I get plus 1 for my charisma. I get plus 1 because I have a 1 in connect and then whatever.
So then I guess my question would be why is there a level 0 in these things also? Well,
because your base is minus 1.
Okay. So that's evening you out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's evening you out.
So,
yeah.
I see. Okay. Thank you.
So I rolled a 6. I did not. I rolled a 5 all said and done, which
yeah, you can tell on his face he's not believing you. He's not connecting with you really at all.
All right, Craig, let me be real with you. I need to get in there and I can't afford to. I'm trying to do this job for a friend and I can't afford the 10 credit covers. And I'm literally just trying to talk to somebody who I don't know who it is yet. I'm just trying to get some information and then I'm out. Like, I'm not trying to hang out.
You realize how many people have tried to use that line over the years?
I'm sure a lot have. But at least this time it's honest.
Roll a, what would that be? It's a talk check.
So just 2d6.
Yeah.
11. I don't have talk, so it's minus 1, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so 10. I do have plus 1 charisma though. I don't know if that would be.
Nah.
Okay. Dexterity?
He
like flip, will he?
He turns around and closes the door behind him.
I knew that was a long shot.
That was a difficult check because he hears that one a lot.
Yeah. I almost got a perfect score on it. I will take it. I walk up to the door and like very gently pull on it to see if it opens.
It locks behind him.
Yeah. Okay. I run back to the front and I look at the bouncer. Hey, I accidentally walked out the back door.
The bouncer who's seen you already?
Yeah. I'm hoping he sees a lot of people.
Just pay the credits.
No, this is good content.
You know what I love about this is that by the time he actually does get inside, you guys are gonna have already gotten the information.
Yeah. We'll like had a couple drinks, gotten some information. Played a game of darts or two.
I pay the credits. I go. I'm not even gonna roll to try and get this perfect.
All right. Yeah, he takes the credits. You walk inside. As each of you enter, you hear the thumping of music of this apparently repurposed industrial site. The enormous concrete floor is filled with dancing bodies stumbling past each other in various states of intoxication. Above you, you see metal catwalks that cross back and forth. And up near, or back in the back of the, on the wall furthest from the entrance, you see a DJ wearing dark shades and sporting a red mohawk. And then to the opposite end, you see a long bar dotted with bodies hovering over their drinks. I guess we'll start with Atticus since you were the first one inside.
Atticus kind of, you know, surveys the surroundings and walks up to the bar just next to, I don't know, whoever's there. He's not really like pinpointing anyone. He's just going to take a seat at the bar.
Okay. You, after a couple moments of sitting there, the bartender approaches you and asks if you want a drink.
Yeah, got any specials?
Not tonight, no.
Just give me a well then.
All right. That'll be a credit.
He flips him a credit.
And he pours you your drink. And it's shortly after that Shrike, you enter this space and find this kind of same layout. You can see Atticus already sitting at the bar with a drink. You can approach him or find someone else.
I'm going to approach him. Probably better to stick together. I just approach and just go, sup, and sit down next to you.
How'd you get in?
Hidden talent.
Do you pay the credits?
Not necessarily.
All right.
You really just doesn't care.
Well,
I'm sure I just that's it.
I mean, I'm sure I'll discover them one day. Wells are just one credit tonight. He raises his drink. At this point, Atticus looks to the person on the other side of him. He's like, "Hey, y'all, hear about the ship that got stolen?"
This gentleman turns towards you and just kind of goes, huh, "Which one?"
"The Manticore Industries ship. CEO got robbed blind."
"Is that right? Didn't hear about that one.
You ain't heard of this? You ain't heard about a ship of a CEO that got stolen or nothing?"
He kind of gives you a weird look. Like, no.
Nah, it's too bad. Have a good one.
He gets just up. Kind of turns back in.
He says to Shrike, "That guy didn't know nothing."
"Yes. Your heart is in the right place, but I think the delivery could use a little something."
"I don't understand. We're trying to get the information. I asked him if he knew the information."
"You also asked him about 3 extra times."
"Well, he didn't make it quite clear." "The same exact wording." I just want to make it clear. Atticus isn't stupid. Atticus is, you know, an average intelligence and pretty wise. Atticus just doesn't have time for the bullshit.
Right. He's just he's straightforward. He's a straight shooter. Yeah. Like he doesn't play around with like the games and No, I get it.
All right. I just wanted to make that clear.
Is there like any sort of check I could do to see if there's anyone who I was going to say looks shady, but judging from where we're at, I'm guessing that's majority of the population. So, is there really any sort of check I could try and do?
This place is pretty much just full of shady looking people. So,
I know I said it earlier, but the connect check really explicitly says how to know where to get illicit goods.
Yeah, that's the one I'm looking at right now too. Find people who can be helpful to your purposes and get them to cooperate with you.
Is there a list people
you know where to get illicit goods and services and be familiar with foreign cultures and languages?
Yeah, Alex, there is a list. It's
page 8 has all the attributes written down with all of their effects and stuff.
Thanks.
And then all the psychic skills too.
I see.
That's the one I've just been hovering on the whole time. Yeah, I mean, could I try and make like some sort of connect check to maybe, well, actually, is there anyone who I notice like who perks up maybe once Atticus starts having this conversation with somebody else at the bar about the CEO ship getting stolen? Like, am I able to notice anyone who kind of seems to take an interest if they may have been eavesdropping or anything?
Notice is a skill too.
Well, that's one that I have a negative one in. So
yeah, roll and notice to see.
So I roll 2d6.
Yep.
Yikes! That's going to be a grand total of 5.
Given the nature of this place, it's pretty easy to see that there are people listening to your conversation when asked about that. One of them being just the people around you mainly are. Anyone who's not already in a conversation is just kind of listening to whatever is being talked about around them.
Yeah. Dang. Okay. Trying to avoid us asking every single person the same question in this bar, but.
Well, and with your experience in this kind of world, you would know that bartenders are usually a safe bet.
That's true. I wave the bartender over.
He walks over to you and says, "Can I get you something?"
I'll take. You pick. I'll pay for whatever it is. Say, have you?
Whoa.
You
I'm gonna stop you right there and tell you. No offense, but we've never had anyone of your species in here before, and I'm not entirely sure what you can drink.
Whatever's fine. I'll make it work. Have you? it'll be okay. Have you heard any rumors around these parts recently? I'm new and I'm looking for some interesting work or some interesting leads. Heard something about a big CEO got robbed blind.
He kind of looks around a little bit and leans in and goes. On the cheap?
You know it.
He kind of just holds out his hand.
I slide him 5 credits.
He takes it in his hand, kind of looks at it. Then says, and turns so that way his other arm is resting on the bar and says, "Guy at the end, he might know something. His name's Edgar.
Pleasure doing business."
I turn to Atticus and I nudge him and I go, "We got our guy."
That's a mighty fine job there, Shrike. I'll get up and walk towards the end of the bar.
I was going to say, do we want to go together or what do we want to do?
That's fine.
So you both go?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'll go.
All right. So you both get up, walk over, and you see a middle-aged man, kind of not fat, but a little bit more round in the middle. Balding hair. And he's just kind of sitting there in front of a poultry of empty glasses.
Is a chicken full of empty glasses?
What's
that word again?
There's a plethora of empty glasses. There's a lot of them. There's a lot.
Hey, partner.
Yeah.
Wait, who replied?
I don't know if partner was referring to your literal partner.
I think Atticus should appreciate the fact that Shrek.
Yeah. not you, brother.
Yeah.
This fella here in the bar. But thank you for responding. That's very attentive of you.
This gentleman turns and looks at you, clearly already intoxicated, and says, "What?
Hey, we got a couple questions for you. Now, no need to worry, brother. We ain't no local authorities or nothing. We just we're on a job."
I was worried about that, and he like reaches over and like puts an arm around you and goes, "I know a cop when I see one, and you don't like anything like it."
Thanks. Listen, the Manticore industry debacle.
Where are my manners? A drink! Drink! And he waves for the bartender. The bartender comes walking over and he says, "I want to buy a drink for these guys here."
No need, fella. I got one already. Thank you, though. Hey, barkeep, we're good here. So anyway, the Manticore industry debacle. You got? I heard you may know a thing or two.
Manticore Industries.
Something about a ship.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Could you? You got any information on where a fella like me may find such a ship?
You know, those guys hired me, and they didn't even pay me.
Now that's a right shame, let me tell you. These rich folk out here, they just want to stomp all over us, take us for what we're worth, and then not even pay us up, not even give us our lousy amount of credits. It's unbelievable.
They're
going
to make a lot of money off of that ship they stole, and they didn't even get to pay me for taking off the transponders, man. Like, it's...
And you deserve that money.
I deserve it.
It's your right.
Yep.
And we're going to get it back for you.
Oh, you are?
That's right. Now, you just got to tell us where to find it.
Oh, hell. And he, like, kind of is patting around his coat for several seconds, and it's at this point that Don Ah, you enter.
I was gonna
club.
Say, when's our companion gonna?
Yeah, you enter in, finding this scene. See your, I think the first one you notice is Shrike, as there is no one else flaming in this entire establishment.
I do want to point out that like. It is very noticeable, but it's not like a 6-foot pillar of flame in the middle of the room. Like it's just his head and his hands that are like
you're a flaming person. It's fine. Okay,
it's fine.
I'm just trying to say we're
okay with it. Okay,
it's just there's not like okay I'm not like a fire hazard.
We're okay with it.
I know. I'm just trying to point out I'm not a fire hazard, and I'm not like a 6-foot column of fire pillar.
I just at all times picture you as the Human Torch, and he always has like a 2-foot pillar of fire on top of his head.
No, yeah, it's Human Torch minus the pillar of fire on top of his head. Pretty like he's just
the iconic pillar of fire on the Human Torch's head.
Hey, what do you think Shrike's favorite musical festival is? Could it be perhaps Burning Man?
Could be Fire
or Fire Festival. Or
Fire
Fest.
That one works too.
Maybe Coachella. That's just a good one.
I'm sending you an image of more of what I That's more what I envision when
I don't want to lose the image I have of you in my head.
Yeah, I'm good with what I got.
No.
Okay, so I walk in. I scan the bar looking for my friends. I see Shrike. I'm not gonna approach them because I mean they got two people over there already. I think adding a third would be weird right now. So I walk up to the bar and flag down the bartender.
He walks over and can I get you something?
What do you got that's cold?
I mean, I can put anything on ice if you want.
What do you got that's hot that you can make cold?
Well, I like
very odd question.
That's a very odd question. Like what? Like coffee or?
No, there's a pretty famous drink on my planet that it's brewed hot, and then it's kept hot, and then when they serve it to you, they like ice it down like really quickly with liquid nitrogen. So I was just curious if you had anything like that, or if not, it's fine. I'm not that picky. It's just, you know when you can get a taste at home, you always get excited for it. So I was just curious.
No, we don't get anything like that.
Okay. You have anything you can set on fire?
I mean, it's alcohol. It's all flammable. So
I'll take something on fire. Cheap. Something cheap and on fire.
Okay, he comes back with what looks like a shot glass of brown liquid with a small flame sitting on top.
Thank you kindly.
And he waits patiently.
You said.
And how much do I owe you for this?
It's 5 credits.
5 credits for. Okay, and
I drink.
I slide him 5 credits.
Takes the credits.
You said something cheap and on fire, and I imagined like one of those desserts that's like a chocolate volcano that they just light on fire at the top or whatever. Like Rainforest Cafe. Here you go. It's your ice cream volcano.
Is this the second time on this podcast we've mentioned Rainforest Cafe?
Probably. Don't doubt the capabilities of Rainforest Cafe, folks. They've got magic trees.
Jumping back over to Atticus and Shrike. Edgar is patting down his person looking for something. And finally digs out a data pad and hands it to you. And said, "Those red sons of bitches, they're not gonna get away with not paying."
That's right. We're here to help you. Now just tell us where we can find that ship.
It's on the data pad I just handed you.
Oh, thanks. Atticus takes a look at the data pad.
And it shows a warehouse within the industrial sector that is owned by the Red Sun Trading Company.
Red Suns, eh? All right, well, don't worry. We'll get you your credits.
He has since passed out on the on the bar.
Good night, sweet prince. Hey, barkeep. You got a mess to clean up over here.
Jerry and he kind of waves over some of the bouncers and they start picking him up to throw him out.
Wait, is one of the bouncers the same one from outside?
Nope.
Okay, good.
He looks like
just about to take my quick leave from the scenario.
Atticus kind of waves the data pad in his hand, looking at Shrike. He's like, "Mission accomplished."
It seems so.
All right.
Have we noticed that Dana is in the bar yet?
Nope. Donna, I was waiting for you guys to kind of walk away.
Unlike you, she kind of blends in.
Yeah.
I didn't ask for the racist comment. I thought we were past that here.
We told you we're okay with you flaming. I was waiting for them to kind of move away. And once they like started to move away, and after like they said the thing with the bouncers, I think I would walk up. At this point, I've put out the fire on the drink and throw it back, and then, you know, put it back on the bar and walk over to them.
We got the info.
Ah, nice.
Thanks for joining us.
You know, whatever I can do. I, you know, had to kind of sneak in, you know how it is.
Yeah, long stealth mission.
You know, sometimes doing things sneakily may take longer, but it's that much more satisfying.
Or you could have just paid up and we could have gotten the info as fast as I did.
You know, tomato, tomato.
All right, are we done here?
Thanks. You know where we're going next?
The Red Suns. Red Sun Warehouse.
What do we know about Red Suns, Michael?
What would that be?
Expert.
What is there? A no.
Is that all of us or just him?
All of you.
I think all of us probably should. Yeah. Any modifiers to it or just?
Ooh, I got a 9.
With your just your no.
Okay, I got a 10 6. Minus 1. Yeah, I got a 7 minus 1, so I got a 6.
And you subtract, Alex, you subtract one from it if you don't have any points in it, right?
Yeah, you subtract one. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I got a 5.
5. So, Shrike, you know that the Red Sun is connected with some allegedly criminal activity that like things like smuggling and things like that.
Gotcha. So just like lesser
criminals. Yeah. Most criminals realize that the Red Sun Trading Company is a front. It's more or less
their offense.
Gotcha.
Red Suns is lesser criminals. A front. Should be no problem.
Do you think that we're going to have to hurt anybody? Like, do they carry a lot of guns?
Everybody around here carries guns.
But I mean, like, do they carry a lot of guns, you know? Like, obviously, we were all strapped, but...
What do you count as a lot?
I mean, you know, I figure, I don't know, I could probably handle 2-3 guys on my own. Atticus over here, I imagine he could probably do 4 or 5, something like that, I feel right, yeah. And Shrike, I got nothing on you. I mean, you're just, like, you're terrifying. So I assume 10, 12, something like that? I mean, I've never seen anything on fire as long as you've been on fire.
Donnie, you ever been in a fight?
Have I ever been in a fight? Yeah, I've been in a fight.
You look like someone who ain't ever been in a fight.
Wait, what makes you think
I agree with Atticus.
What about me looks like I haven't been in a fight before?
Just your whole thing.
The first question you asked was, quote, how many guns do you think they have?
How is that not a valid question?
The average answer is 1 per person.
Okay, well, obviously I'm asking how many people are going to be there. I don't actually mean like, oh, they have a bunch of guns, so it's going to be a problem. I mean, like, do they have a lot of people who can use those guns? I'm trying to plan what is clearly going to have to be a warehouse invasion, okay, before we just storm the castle. So, like, you know what? Screw you guys.
Donnie, you ain't got to worry about getting into any tussle. We'll get in there all nice and quiet like.
I just don't believe it at all. Let's go.
So
You Atticus, make your way. Grabs a handful of peanuts from the bar as he leaves.
How's trying it now?
I think I'm just going to walk right out the front door and just go peace at the bouncer as I walk past. Not even look back.
He doesn't react. I mean,
I was hoping for a little more than that, but all right.
You're leaving. It's not his business. He didn't get paid enough for that.
That's true.
So you make your way towards the Red Sun Trading offices. The Red Sun Trading Office is a low squat structure built to maximize efficiency and minimize both expense and attention. It blends in well with the dozens of other similar warehouses in this industrial area. The front of the building appears to be a few small offices, while to the side is a larger square warehouse. The perimeter is guarded by a chain link fence. On the east side, a protrusion appears to be a large air filtration system. Red Sun's worn logo appears over the main entrance and a pair of double doors that look securely locked.
All right.
Oh, no.
Okay. Hey, we are going to call it there for tonight, guys. We are in the midst of the very first, I guess we'll call it the training session for Stars Without Numbers, which, again, I'll say it again here at the top or at the bottom, I guess, where we're at. Is a role-playing game, a science fiction role-playing game created by Kevin Crawford. It's available on DriveThruRPG as a free version and as a paid version. The free version is extremely robust, and I believe they have a pay-what-you-want model, so you can toss them a few bucks if you really like the free, or you can buy the whole thing if you want to see how, basically how intense this game can be. But we are really excited to be playing it. My name's Adam. I've been playing Donna. Let's Michael. You want to do a little sign off?
I'm Michael, and I am your galaxy master.
Alex.
Oh, I'm yawning, and I'm also Alex.
Who are you playing?
I've been Atticus Biggs.
And Nate.
I'm Nathan, and I've been Shrike Mazrin.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for listening, and have a great day, night. I don't know when you listen to this stuff.